Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. Our guest for the review today will be Monocle's Vienna correspondent Kimberly Bradley. We'll be in Austria looking at Ai Weiwei's new show at the Belvedere, Mario Garcia Torres at TBA 21, both of those in Vienna, before diverting to Salzburg. That's all coming up on the Monocle Arts Review. Do stick around. Welcome to the show, Kim.
Hi. Andrew, how are you?
I'm very well. We will start with Ai Weiwei. This is his show called Translocation and Transformation at the 21er House at the Belvedere. The most visible part of this, of course, is F. Lotus. This is the installation made from life jackets worn by Syrian refugees, which is currently adrift in the Belvedere's pond. I wanted to start with that first of all. What did you think of F. Lotus as a thing in itself? Because opinion has been somewhat divided, not least, I should hope, over the terrible, terrible pun he has used as a title.
Yeah, no, I have actually myself been a very vocal critic of Mr. Ai and his recent involvement in the refugee crisis. Like, I do think his work is better when he's dealing with Chinese issues. He's been a dissident. He had 4 years of house arrest, which just ended last July. And suddenly he's started a studio in Lesbos and was taking selfies with refugees on the shore, and it all got kind of ridiculous. And I have found previous life jacket work. In February, he put life jackets on the columns of the Konzerthaus in Berlin. Really a bit tone deaf.
Tone deaf in what way? What do you think he's getting wrong? Is it that thing of, which seems the obvious and perfectly reasonable criticism, of using desperate and terrified people as props, or is it something else besides that?
First of all, there was no formal quality to, I mean, artistically, you're slapping up life jackets on columns of a building. What statement are you making? And it was very quick. I know he had just gotten the life jackets. Also, a little add-on to that, he staged within that building, there was a celebrity benefit dinner. This was all during the Berlin Film Festival. And he, in solidarity with the situation, wrapped them in emergency blankets, which was photographed and considered very tacky by the art press. So the whole thing felt rushed, artistically not interesting. And because at that moment, the EU is deliberating with Turkey as to sending refugees back from Greece to Turkey, why are you putting up an artwork that says safe passage? You know, this was never a safe passage, and they're about to send you back.
Do we get the impression he means these things or intends these things purely as artistic statements, or are they divorced from that exclusively, I guess, what he might think of as consciousness-raising exercises?
I think he considers himself an artivist, an activist dissident artist. Again, there was a lot of discussion at that time about whether he was just misreading the West, since he's dealing with a more Western topic. The work that he did that was similar, he put up 6,000 backpacks on a Munich museum representing the children that were killed in Sichuan in the earthquakes. This was information that we had no visual access to in the West. But the refugee crisis, you know, we're bombarded with visual images, and it just felt a little, I think his intentions were not bad, but he was trying to raise awareness where there was already media awareness. Getting to the pond at the Belvedere, where that is a bit different. I thought I would hate this, but I realized he's actually made an artwork out of the life jackets. So there are 201 lotus flowers floating on the pond, each made of 5 life jackets, and they're color-coded. So some of them are blue, some are red, some are orange. And they create a calligraphic F, which I has been using for many years. It does signify the F word in English. And in Mandarin, if you say that sound F, the phoneme, it does indicate a similar meaning as to the English F word. It's a formal artwork. Instead of throwing up life jackets on columns somewhere in a quick knee-jerk response to a situation that was in progress, he's actually taken, I think, a bit of contemplation, connected it to his previous body of work, and made an actual artwork out of the thing. So what's interesting when you look at it is the water is calm. The lotus actually stands for transformation. There are a few extra layers beyond the very obvious that he's used before. And I had to gulp a little bit and swallow my pride and say, okay, this isn't so bad. Because I've been really vocal about his previous work this year.
What did you make of the rest of the exhibition? Does the F. Lotus installation tie into the rest of it thematically, or is it best thought of as a separate thing?
It's a bit separate. The rest of the pieces are Chinese. The entire show is called Translocation Transformation, which I am noticing is kind of the thing in Vienna right now. When we get to the next show, we can talk about that more. The centerpiece of the entire exhibition is a huge hall in the 21 house called the Wang Family Ancestral Hall, which he's rebuilt. He found it in a very remote area of China and is rebuilding it to really fill the space in this hall, which has its own story. The Einen Zwanziger House, which is part of the Belvedere, but it's for contemporary art, was built as a pavilion for the Belgian World Expo in 1958. And it was moved back to Vienna in 1962. So it's kind of a translocation within a translocation. And it works really well. And there are two other pieces in there that are very Chinese. They deal with the tea trade. There's a small installation made entirely of tea leaves, which smells fantastic. And kind of a carpet floor installation made entirely of antique teapot spouts, all ceramics. There are other pieces that are all basically Chinese, but what I found really interesting is how they installed it. The museum has these different locations, and lots of tourists are basically doing it as a parkour. You have to walk a few hundred meters to get from the upper Belvedere. There are two or three pieces within the museum. You walk past the pond. There's the F. Lotus there, as well as some sculptures around it. And then you go to the Einen Zwanziger House. So it does have a cohesion. And unlike other Ai Weiwei shows, there are only six pieces, six multi-part pieces. But the overblownness and kind of, I mean, you could even call it egocentric vibe that he often gives off is not here. It's quite well done as a blockbuster museum show.
Okay, well, that's Ai Weiwei Translocation and Transformation, which runs at the Belvedere until November 20th. As you were saying there, the themes of dislocation, translocation, etc., do seem to be a bit of a recurring theme in Vienna right now, which does move us seamlessly along to TBA 21 in our garden. This is Mario Garcia Torres's show, An Arrival Tale. First of all, basically, I think for listeners who may not have made his acquaintance, could you briefly introduce Mario Garcia Torres?
He's a Mexican artist. He was born in the mid-70s. I'm still wrapping my head around his body of work, to be perfectly frank with you. But he deals a lot with imagined dialogues with historical figures in quite remote spaces, to put it very simply for the layperson. I first ran across his work at the Berlin Biennial 2 years ago, not the current one, but the one before, where he'd basically recreated in vitrines with kind of fake historical and real historical material, this big story about the composer Conlon Nancarrow, who produced a whole bunch of work in Central America on his own. He was a bit of an exiled composer. And you kind of dive into these worlds with Garcia Torres. This show at TBA 21, I actually have a hard time, again, wrapping my head around, because what it does is takes three of his older works in three of the spaces in this exhibition space. It's quite a large atrium-like space in the middle of a beautiful park in Vienna's Second District. And there are a lot of films that deal with the concept of arrival. What the curator did, and her name is Daniela Zaman, she recast some of Torres's old work with this idea that TBA 21 is dealing with all year, which is, yes, the refugee crisis, this idea of arrival and transformation. And what you do see is not only this work that I just described, but various films. That there was one film where Torres pretended to go to Kabul in the early 2000s. And there's another film in the back room in which he actually does go to Kabul.
There's a commonality there, I guess you could say, with Ai Weiwei, in that they've both done the thing of attempting to go to where the thing they're creating art about is actually happening. Is his approach significantly different?
He's a lot less about spectacle than Ai Weiwei. He has a very documentarian approach, so the films are very grainy. They are shot as if they're documentaries. He has fictional correspondences with historical figures, either in the form of faxes or these beautiful old typed documents that are on display under vitrines. He's much softer, and it's much more academic.
That's an arrival tale by Mario Garcia Torres at TBA 21, and that runs until November 20th as well. We will end at the Museum der Modern in Salzburg and its Poetics of Change exhibition. Poetics of Change is... it's one of those phrases I think you only see used as the title of an exhibition. It could mean practically anything. What does it actually mean in this instance?
Good question. I can give you a background a little bit. I was just in Salzburg for a week teaching at the Salzburg Summer Academy, which is an art school that it lasts 6 weeks. So I taught a class on art writing and I took my class there and I made them review the show. And some of them were lay writers and some of them were professional critics. And they all asked me, like, what does this have to do with anything, this title? What it is, and I can explain a bit. The Museum der Moderne in Salzburg acquired 2 years ago the Generali Foundation's collection, which used to be in Vienna, and very, very much focuses on feminist, conceptual, minimalist think piece art since 1960. So you have really interesting canonized work that they keep remixing in different shows on the first floor of the museum, only based from this collection. So this is the third show, and I think they just slapped a title on it so that they could show some of the seminal works from the collection.
It does sound like that there is somewhere one of those fridge magnet poetry kits around the theme of titles of art exhibition. They just sort of whacked three words out of that at random. There's more than 60 works here, I understand, by nearly 30 artists. How variable is the quality across those?
It's actually really high quality. I don't necessarily see the title fitting the exhibition, or the narrative lines are a bit wobbly, but if one wants to see kind of the greatest hits of Austrian art since 1960 or 70, with a few non-Austrians thrown in, this is the place to go. I mean, you have Valley Export, who is a very interesting feminist actionist artist in the 60s. There's photo documentation of her taking Peter Weibel, another artist, out for a walk through Vienna as a dog. I mean, you see the responses of the people on the streets and you see the humor a bit in this. You have newer work by Heimo Zobernick, who was at the Venice Biennale last year as the Austrian Pavilion representative. He's a sculptor. Very, very interesting minimal work. He has various pieces in one of the last rooms made out of rubber. It's got an old factory sense, very minimal. You have Oswald Oberhuber, who isn't so well known outside of the country, but has done a lot of very funny photographic collage here, stuff that's not seen so much. So the quality actually is very high, and it's very Austrian, and that's hard to find unless you're in Austria.
Okay, well, that's Poetics of Change, finally tonight at the Museum der Modern in Salzburg until the 9th of October. And that brings us to the end of this week's show. Thanks to my guest, Kimberly Bradley, Monocle's correspondent in Vienna. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Andrew Muller. The producer was Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We'll be back at the same time tomorrow to talk music. But for now, goodbye from me, and thanks for listening.